You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March 2nd, 2022, we are live streaming the program if you want to watch in addition to listening. Larry Connors, USA, YouTube. I note that many are not able to see it live now, but then are pulling it up as we post it later in the day and watching it at a different time schedule. That's great. Whatever works for you. Glad to have you watching, listening, spreading the word. You are making this program bigger than I suspected it ever could be, and it's all because of you and certainly with God's blessings. You just heard the national report about the bombing and attacks continue, particularly around one section of the largest city of Kharkiv. They continue relentless bombing civilian areas. This news just coming out 6 minutes ago now, The New York Times is citing U.S. intel as saying China asked Russia to wait until after the Olympics to launch the invasion of Ukraine, knowing it was coming, but asked them to wait. The closing ceremonies of the Olympics, Feb 20, Putin's invasion of Ukraine the very next day. The official response from the Chinese embassy, that's a lie. Did not happen. I'll leave it to you. A Ukrainian parliament member says Putin continues to be ready for war, but we're not giving up. And speaking of China today, said it would not consider sanctioning Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, and it will continue normal trade cooperation. What happened was a UN General Assembly vote today, a non-binding resolution, calling on Russia to stop the war and withdraw military forces. Five nations opposed the resolution directly. Five no votes. Russia, to be expected. Belarus, which is where they're basing a lot of their troops and now using Belarus troops. Eritrea, North Korea, and Syria. 141 nations saying we favor the resolution. China abstained. It's the same as saying no, but we're just simply not going to vote. Well, in his State of the Union address last night, President Biden declared America is great. We're better today than we were a year ago. Yes, no. Biden also said he has a plan to fight inflation. He had mentioned it briefly. He said, my plan to fight inflation is to lower your costs, not your wages. We're all for that, sure. But he offered no specifics because he has none. Your gas prices are going to continue going up, and we are buying oil from Russia. Donald Trump predicting oil, crude oil, one barrel, now at a little over $110, could be $200 in short order. Biden did use his State of the Union address to call on Congress to fund police, not defund, fund police. That also flies in the face of the progressives. Rashida, Congresswoman Tlaib, gave what she called not a rebuttal, but her own vision, representing the working people, she said. And she did scold Biden for not enacting Green New Deal-like policies into law. And also didn't like some other things. And, of course, she's one of the ones that primarily has been pushing defund police. But they know it's not going to play well with the electorate. Speaking of the election, every candidate in Texas endorsed by former President Donald Trump in the Texas Republican primaries, the word here is they've either won or are substantially leading their races. No surprise, we told you yesterday about how many in Texas, Democrat counties along the border have gone Republican. And then you've got this CNN survey. CNN survey found in questioning those who watched the State of the Union. This is CNN. CNN reporting. Out of the respondents interviewed, 53% said Biden did not do enough to discuss inflation. 54% didn't address violent crime, and on and on. In other words, he didn't address anything that affects you directly. And even when it comes to the international stage, he blew that. We're going to get into all of those issues coming up. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Russia's Vladimir Putin sought to shake the very foundations of the free world, thinking he could make it bend to his menacing ways. But he badly miscalculated. He thought he could roll into Ukraine and the world would roll over. Instead, he met with a wall of strength he never anticipated or imagined. He met the Ukrainian people.
That was one part of Joe Biden's speech last night on the State of the Union that I certainly also applaud. And Ukrainians deserve all the honor because they decided we're not just simply going to cave in. There's still talks about having talks, but they're not going anywhere at this point. And even as they're still doing so, I'm getting a report here that a Russian missile just landed near a central train station in Kyiv, where many are trying to flee the city. But overall, the Biden address last night was not only useless and empty of any real import, but delivered in such a way that I think it's past his bedtime. But of course, that's your perspective. You might have a different one. There's a CNN opinion piece I've got here in front of me that says that it was brilliant. Really? Were you watching the same thing I was? CNN's Van Jones saying, he's at his best. Uncle Joe is back. No, I don't think he measured up at all. And I read to you in news and commentary a moment ago, and I will restate it. The source being CNN survey that they took and they put out, stating anywhere from 55 to 58% of those surveyed thought he did not address the issues most important to American people. He ignored all the basic issues he should have been talking on. And to that extent, here's Senator Ted Cruz and his similar evaluation.
On Ukraine, he acknowledged Russia's invasion, but didn't say a word about the disastrous weakness from his administration, the catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan, or his decision to waive sanctions on Russia on Putin's Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is what directly led to this invasion. On every issue, he was like Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. I see nothing. I hear nothing. With him, that may be right.
Yeah, it may be right. I see nothing. I hear nothing. You had to remember that from Hogan's Heroes, many of you. And, of course, Biden did not mention the Afghan situation where we had 13 soldiers killed on his watch at the airport. Why? Because he decided, I want troops out of there now. Now, the generals may have had some better plans, but they all got ditched when he said, it's today. So they shut down the base, air base we had there that provided air cover and support for those Afghanistans who were fighting the Taliban. They said they didn't realize they had no air cover. Already for days, the Taliban had been marching into different regions taking control. So we abandoned all this equipment behind. Hopefully, we dismantled or rendered inoperable much of it, but probably not all of it. And then we moved to the airport, the international airport, and tried to defend it while we're escorting Afghans that we want to take out of the country and Americans. And we had 13 troops killed. Didn't even mention them. Did not even mention, because it would reinforce how he absolutely bumbled, is a kind word. I have a word that begins with an F. You'll have to figure out what that is, that entire operation at that point. And blood was shed because of such stupidity. Cruz said, and then aside from dealing and not dealing with those issues, he also ignored other issues. Again, Senator Cruz.
Biden went through a litany of acknowledging some of the problems we face in this country, but utterly denying any responsibility, any culpability for it. So he acknowledged galloping inflation, but didn't say a word about the trillions in spending and trillions of debt he rammed through that caused that inflation. He acknowledged gas prices are skyrocketing, but didn't say a word about the war on domestic energy production that his administration led. He acknowledged the need to secure our southern border, but didn't say a word about the failure of his administration to enforce the laws leading to the highest rate of illegal immigration in 61 years.
That was as close as he came to mentioning, yeah, we need to deal with the border. But he didn't say what again? My God, I could sit here all day and tell you that I know how to make a pie or build a rocket to the moon. But until I start doing it and show you some plans, you don't know if I can do either one. And you'd be right. I can't. Do you remember when he was in office that first day and the first thing he did was take pen and by stroke of the pen, wipe out the Keystone Pipeline? And then Jen Psaki 2 days ago said, well, that wouldn't help now anyway because it'd take too long to build. Well, of course it would. You shut it down a year ago plus. But then you also have drilling leases that have been shut down. And the oil companies, yes, they are deciding in areas where they could drill. They're not because it's too costly right now. We're not going to get the money back right away. We can't find workers and everything else. But Biden ignores all of that. He touches on it, but when he touches, it's not the Midas touch. It's the Rust touch. And then he ignored, as Senator Cruz said, some very important issues that don't affect you in your pocketbook and your day-to-day life, but they are important.
four words that I didn't hear at all tonight. I didn't hear crime. He didn't acknowledge the crime rate that is soaring across this country, the murder rate that is soaring across this country because of the Democrats' push to abolish the police. He didn't say the word China even once. It was stunning that China is the greatest geopolitical threat facing the United States, and somehow it didn't make it into the speech. He didn't say Afghanistan. He didn't even acknowledge the disgraceful surrender and retreat that he led. And he didn't say Israel. That was really striking in a State of the Union. I think it was really a disappointing speech.
Yeah, in so many ways. And so did many of the Democrats. And remember, there were three Democrats who were offering, well, they didn't want to call them a rebuttal to Biden, but stating what they think was important. One of them being Congresswoman Tlaib of Michigan. If you recall, she was one of the first female members of the Democrat Socialist of America to serve in Congress. Isn't that just grand? Democrat Socialist, she and AOC. They've argued, along with the others, in favor of abolishing U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. In other words, we don't need no stinking border. Biden actually said maybe we need to deal with that. That's not going to make them happy. He also said we need to fund police, not defund police. That's also against what they're doing. And then on top of that, when Congresswoman Tlaib was speaking, she brought up the one issue that was supposedly going to be his benchmark, his stamp on what he has accomplished this year, and it didn't get passed. And she's upset, but trying to couch it in words and terms and make it sound not so bad, and we'll do it again.
President Biden laid out the visionary Build Back Better agenda to create an America where we all have an opportunity to thrive. People got excited. We had a chance to begin to address decades of rising inequality and injustice. President Biden's Build Back Better brought people together. We saw for the first time people who want to see childcare in the same room with those combating climate change. Folks working on housing justice in the same room as those working on health care. The president did that. Build Back Better did that.
Yeah, but he did not really mention Build Back Better last night. And in fact, he said, gonna build better America. That's what they're calling it now. And he is in Michigan, or scheduled to be in Michigan, pushing this new reworded, rebranded Build Back America. Not only did Tlaib make those remarks, you also had Congressman Allred speaking for the Congressional Black Caucus. Do you see any unity in that party? Three speeches in one night from Democrats after the president? Tlaib, Allred, and still another one, Ovella of Texas. He actually said Democrats should be showing unity. In times of crisis, we all stand with our president. She said, I said he, it's she. But, no, they didn't do any of that. In fact, the AP slammed Biden's State of the Union for being, quote, in a state of exhaustion from the pandemic. Still, when it came time for the summation, Uncle Joe was at his best.
So on this night, on our 245th year as a nation, I've come to report on the state of the nation, the state of the union. And my report is this: the state of the union is strong because you, the American people, are strong. We are stronger today. We are stronger today than we were a year ago. And we'll be stronger a year from now than we are today. This is our moment to meet and overcome the challenges of our time. And we will, as one people, one America, the United States of America.
I'm all for that. I applaud that. Not going to happen under Biden. They can't even do it inside their own party. When he has not one, not two, but three different Democrats follow him with, they say it's not a rebuttal, but they were driving home the points they thought were important, and he did not address them. And one of them, Tlaib, did actually take charge against Biden, reference He didn't push forward green policies, make them law like they wanted him to. They didn't push hard enough to defund police, and is now saying we need to fund police. He's gone against them on every major step like that. That was why she was running, why she had backing. But she also, I say she, he was running, but Tlaib was running on those things in her little constituency area. And then, of course, he made sure that we try to include everybody. The First Lady, as a guest to the speech last night, had a representative of critical race theory. And then also Biden took time to address LGBTQ plus. I shouldn't leave out the plus because who knows how many more letters are going to be added. He said, let's finally get that Equality Act to my desk. It's lost support among the small number of Republicans who originally backed it. That's because the progressives and gay advocacy groups want to insist on including language that includes and establishes gender ideology as law. Good. Put it down. And then the closing, the actual closing that went a step deeper. No one understood this. Listen.
This is our moment to meet and overcome the challenges of our time. And we will, as one people, one America, the United States of America. God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you. Go get him.
Go get him? Is that reference Putin? I assume. Just kind of thrown in there. All right, coming up, I want you to hear from former President Trump and the oil prices.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Stop paying Russia immediately. Don't buy oil from Russia. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that's going to really drive oil up because we don't have oil anymore. We don't have drilling anymore. We don't have nearly the supplies. And you know what he's doing? I filled up, first time in 60 years, I filled up the strategic national reserves. He's now giving that oil out to other countries to try and keep the oil price down. Can you believe it? So I filled it up, 75 million barrels I got, at a very low price. That was when the oil was just about at its lowest. I said, tell me about the strategic reserves, sir. They haven't been filled in 60 years or 50 years. I said, right. Let's fill it up.
Fill it up. The words of President Trump today, talked to Maria Bartiromo at Fox News. The strategic reserve right now has about 580 million barrels, 580 million barrels, has a capacity of 714 million. We heard Trump say that he filled it up. Well, what's happened since then? Well, for one thing, back in September, or let me check the date again, it might be November, the Biden administration decided to help you with your gas prices, that they would release, it was November, the 23rd, going into Thanksgiving travel and holiday travel, releasing 50 million barrels. 50 million barrels out of 500 million or more. What does that really amount to? Maybe 2 days? And now, of course, with what's happening with Russia, he's saying we're going to release another 30 million barrels, thinking, again, it will blunt the gas prices. It ain't going to blunt the gas prices. Give me a break. But again, the strategic reserve still has something like 580 million barrels. It is used primarily, meant to be used, not to control gas prices, but to make sure we have enough. Last year we bought, I have pointed out to you numerous times now, 250 million barrels from Russia. Trump has some comments about that.
He's using what I did to lower oil prices, and he shouldn't be using it for that. It's supposed to be used for our war, for emergency. So I fill it up. Nobody wants to write that story because, you know, it's not a good thing to write when Trump does all these things correctly. So I filled up the National Strategic Reserve right to the top, Maria, right to the top. You couldn't get a drop more in there. And now this guy's emptying it to try and keep the oil price down. What he has to do is he has to create new energy. And, you know, the windmills aren't going to do it, okay? The windmills are not going to do it.
I told you yesterday those windmills, depending on their size and any other issues, they could use anywhere from 80 gallons of oil, which would small amount, right, up to maybe 16,000 gallons. Trista Justice for the Federalist wrote a piece. I was going to try to have him on today. Let me share some of what he wrote. He said, Joe Biden is telling Americans he wants lower energy prices, but while doing everything humanly possible to make sure prices spike, endangering not only the budgets, but global security. And he's right. These prices right now we're seeing are at seven-year highs. Biden had said in his first State of the Union address, or first presidential address, what do you want to call it, that they were going to feature heavy government expenditures on electric cars, the Green Deal, and all of that. Well, he didn't mention enough of that last night to even make the progressives happy. We all know it's not going to do. It's not going to do. And to run an electric car, it's going to be $80 a month, they say. They will save you $80 a month is what they're saying. We're going to give you tax credits, so forth and so on. All of this is to make you suffer at the pump. So you think, you know, maybe we should at least buy a hybrid. Or maybe we'll go and buy the electric car. If we can afford it, and we're going to get a tax rebate. Maybe it starts with, how about reopen the Keystone Pipeline? You want to do that? In the meantime, the battle in Ukraine continues and is escalating. I'm going to bring you up to date, and I also want the reaction and some additional understanding of what's happening from retired U.S. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, an expert on military affairs. And there's some new developments even as I speak, crossing reference Ukraine. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Reminding you that we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. All the programs now being, live stream, and then also posted later. My next guest, you always enjoy hearing from, I do as well, retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, USMC. Semper Fi, sir. Welcome back.
And thank you so much. Semper Fi, my friend.
Yes, sir. And speaking on behalf of the Heritage Foundation, let's go quickly some of the most recent events happening. I'm getting word right now that the Russians again are targeting civilians. Another missile attack hitting in one of the areas. This one, one of the last reports was one of the train stations at Kyiv where folks are trying to get to trains.
Yeah.
I can't tell for sure where this one is. I don't see anything slowing down at as far as what's being fired into the cities. What's your take?
No, exactly. And I think we will see this continue to increase as he slowly moves more land forces into position to surround Kyiv, the capital city, to increase the surrounding force around Kharkiv there in the eastern part, and even down south, you know, along the Black Sea coastline. So he's slowly getting more and more forces into place. And while that is occurring, he is going to pummel these cities. I mean, you know, you and I both remember the Russian invasion or invasion, but the attack into Chechnya, you know, some years back. And the capital city, Grozny, was just leveled by rocket and artillery fire. And the guy who ordered that and oversaw it was Vladimir Putin. So this is a time-worn tactic that they've used. They've supported Bashar al-Assad in Syria with the same kind of tactics against civilian population centers and all. So he is clearly is not restraining military fires against purely military targets. You know, it's town squares, it's Holocaust memorials, office buildings.
I keep hearing reports, and I want to know if you have, about morale among the Russian troops because they're firing on innocent civilians that don't even have a weapon in hand, that it's taking a toll among them, and that maybe some of these convoys have been stopped because the troops themselves are draining the tanks, emptying, punching holes in them.
Right, yeah, and there's both sorts of stories, so they're not in conflict with each other. So you can have a part of the force that is conscript, young Russian men, did not know that they were marching off to war because there was actually no war to march off to. I mean, you know, Russia hadn't been attacked or whatever. And then they get the orders to go in and they're firing on ethnic cousins. I mean, you know, the Ukrainians and Russians have a long mutual history together. They vacation in each other's countries. There's intermarriage, you know, those sorts of things. It's not like they have this 20-year-old farm kid who was pressed into military service. And he's firing mortar rounds or machine gun fire into civilian population areas. And people are throwing down their weapons or abandoning armored vehicles and literally marching back or walking back to Russia. Those stories have been validated, but as a percentage of the force, it's only a part. You know, there is incoming fire, you know, these multiple launch rocket systems, strafing rocket runs by aircraft. So those haven't gone away. But what it does reveal, the point that you're making, is that it was not well thought through, and the manner in which this assault is occurring into Ukraine carries with it its own problems.
Putin's still a thug and acting like it and just telling everybody to do, and like a boss of a mafioso, only a massive military. China is entering in a little bit again in the sense that they were holding a vote at the UN today, and China abstained from saying that Russia should cease and move out. Five countries, including Russia, no surprise there, said it should continue just as we're doing. China was supposedly still sitting on the edge. What is China learning from this? And maybe they don't want to lose any oil from Russia either. They also depend on Russia, correct?
That's correct. And they just had a massive deal of 100 million tons of coal. So, you know, there is economic relationships between the two, but it's not a perfect marriage. You know, China has its eye on the Russian Far East. It has its own designs on Taiwan. It is leery of getting too closely tied to this autocrat Vladimir Putin and, you know, these massacres of civilians in Ukraine. It doesn't want to be tarred with that. That's why every once in a while it gets really upset with what North Korea does, you know, very provocative actions and missile tests. So China is playing it cool. They're watching what goes on, how the West is responding, how distracted the West gets, and they're assessing their odds of successfully taking Taiwan by force in the next few years.
You're listening to Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired, now with Heritage Foundation. Speaking of missiles, the Pentagon just decided in a briefing a few moments ago that they were going to postpone a ballistic missile test amid the increased tensions with Russia because we've had basically Putin rattling nukes at us at this point.
Yeah, you don't want a misinterpretation, right, that Vladimir Putin, if he is mentally unstable, people have speculated, but there's no proof, would he misinterpret something like that, right? Could that be seen as a missed signal? And so I think cooler heads are trying to do things that aren't overtly provocative to worsen the situation while trying to do what they can to keep the situation, you know, from getting as worse as it might be. And I know that sounded kind of weird, but you wouldn't want to fly U.S. aircraft into Ukrainian airspace and tangle with Russian jets because it amps up and broadens the military conflict.
There is a report. There is a report that there is a report that some Russian fighters briefly entered Swiss airspace.
Yeah, and yes, and so overflights and incursion into space, airspace and water space, that can be unintentional. It can also be a signaling of some type. You know, Sweden and Finland have both been making noises about joining NATO. Russia would absolutely hate that. So when you find a submarine, you know, coming up above water, or a Russian jet entering Swedish airspace or something along those lines, that can be a very telling political signal that they need to stay out of the way.
What about Turkey?
That kind of messaging is going to go on as well.
What about Turkey not allowing some additional Russian ships through the straits to get to the Black Sea?
Yeah, huge. That comes from the Montreux Convention, which is in the wake of World War One. So Turkey basically regulates the flow of warships through the Dardanelles and the Bosphorus Straits that connects the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. The Russians have a fleet in the Black Sea, but this closing the straits to all warships keeps them from reinforcing, bringing more ships into the Black Sea that they would use against the Black Sea coastline of southern Ukraine. And it also prevents them from moving ships out of the Black Sea to reprovision, let's say, in Syria or something like that, or moving munitions back and forth. So they're just trying to clamp things down. And it's a pretty extraordinary move by Turkey, because Turkey has been buying Russian military gear.
Yeah, I mean, everyone right now that is taking part in the actual sanctions is still, you know, had been buying and would continue. And we're still buying oil, are we not? Are we still buying oil from Russia while we're also taking out of our strategic reserve?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Why?
Our own strategic reserve.
Sir, with all due respect, Lieutenant Colonel, I'm not near your rank, but why in the hell are we doing that?
It's insane, and it's part of the Biden policy mess. I mean, they've been tepid, half-stepping, ineffective, ineffectual, feckless. I mean, whatever word you want to use. You know, the withdrawal from Afghanistan was an example of this. You know, saying that, sanctions aren't needed, but we will threaten the use of sanctions, and that will deter Putin from going into Ukraine. And then after he goes into Ukraine, they said, well, the sanctions were never meant to actually deter or prevent, but now we're going to shake the big stick. So it's insane energy policy. We went from being energy independent to being energy dependent, and 7% of our energy imports come from Russia. We are helping to pay for Russian military action into Ukraine because we are buying Russian energy.
And at some point, we're seeing it on the gas price, and that's going to continue to that extent, or have to dip deeper in our reserve. One final 30 seconds here, just talking about the people. Press Secretary Kirby is saying Putin is obviously trying to cause a humanitarian crisis. 500,000 trying to get out of the country now, and it's going to continue. To that extent, he's been successful.
Upwards of 4 million are being forecasted. The latest reports I saw was something like 800,000 have tried or in the process of trying to leave. They have a backlog of people crossing into Poland of upwards of a week. Women and children sitting in cars with no possessions. Men have to stay in Ukraine because they need to help fight, you know, for their country and all. But it is a humanitarian crisis. We're still in the winter months, and they're going to need all the aid and assistance that they can get.
Lieutenant Colonel, as always, I appreciate it. I really do. You are on demand by a lot of major networks, and I appreciate the time you give me, sir.
Love talking with you. I really do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. USMC Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, Heritage Foundation, Semper Fi. Coming up, some of your remarks have been coming in about what's happening and the Biden speech, and some closing thoughts for all of us. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As I pointed out, we are now live streaming the program at Larry Connors USA YouTube. We have many that are watching and watching it live as we're doing the program. Many others are picking up later in the day when it works better for their schedule, even if they've heard it. I'm getting a lot of comments from some saying, glad to see you back on, quote, TV. I'm glad to be back to that extent, especially right now. I'm especially glad to have this program. I'd much rather be, and I mean this with all sincerity, I would much rather have this opportunity to address these issues the way I'm doing it now than have to be fair and balanced reporting. Because my heart and soul is in this, and I believe it's a calling and an opportunity that I've been given, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have the opportunity. I'm blessed to have you follow and tell your friends and neighbors. You are doing it at a rapid number that some of the other stations in town are beginning to say, what the dickens is happening over there? Well, let me read some comments we've got here in front of me. This is on Facebook showing up today. Randy and Beth pointing out, thanks for doing it. Look forward to the show. I'm looking at another source pointing out this one saying that this is pretty good, showing a picture of a gas pump. And at the top, the first price is LOL. The next one is OMG on the gas pump. And the one below that reads WTF. I wonder what that could mean. I mean, there are other comments. I won't have time to get to all of them. I try, but you're always welcome to post at Larry Connors USA YouTube while we're live. I try to respond, but if you've watched the program in progress, I am surrounded by papers. I'm constantly changing and grabbing materials, even though I laid it out hours before. I still make a lot of changes, and I've got a couple of very good board operators doing a great job staying up, not only with me, but ahead of the curve, because they got to be ahead of where I'm going, hopefully, and I stay that course. But I thank you for that. And, there's some other comments here. I don't want to get it. It gets too braggadocious, and I'm not trying to do that. But what I'm trying to say is this is an important time for our country and for the world. And I don't mince my words on this program. You know that. I'm going to tell you what I think of it. It may not fit exactly what you're thinking. That's fine. And I don't build my program as, you know, all Trump, because I've had some disputes with Trump. And in fact, I'll be very direct to some of you who may not be aware of it. Years ago when he was running and against all the other candidates just for the primary, and I would say he's not my favorite, and in the end, he still was not my first, second, nor even third pick. But when it came between him and Hillary, there was only one, and it was the best one. I was wrong on the others. He knew it. He business-wise, he made things happen. Look what he did to the economy and everything else in the period of 4 years, and we'd still be going like that. The crisis of the pandemic obviously hurt. Even if he were still in office, we'd still be dealing with some of it. But we'd have our pipelines running. We'd have the Keystone Pipeline completed or near completion. We would have our oil and gas leases operating. We would not be dipping into a strategic reserve just to keep your gas prices lower as we head to the next election, as if that's going to buy you. They're buying you off by lowering 2 cents a gallon on your buy at the gas station. They're going to buy your vote? I say you make them pay for the vote because they have let it get out of hand like this. They're doing it in Texas. They've had the first primary, and of course we continue to hear from Democrats, oh my God, this time we got to fight, we got to have the John Lewis law enacted, the Republicans are trying to steal the election. Now wait a minute, I thought they were telling us, can't steal a federal election. There's no conspiracy. That's nonsense. Although Hillary could say it's a collusion involving the Russians, and Adam Schiffless can claim that we got all the facts when they had no facts. And every member that went in to testify behind closed doors would appear on CNN the next day with Don Lemon Fruitcake or one of the other idiots over there and just go on and on about how bad it looks. I can't give you details because I'm under oath and it's still investigated, but it's going to be bad for Trump. But then when the transcripts are released, they're as meek as mice in there. I don't have anything to report. I don't know anything. But when they get in front of you, the public, they can lie to you. Well, I say, no, they really can't, because we're not going to let them. And we're going to call them, as I do on this program, I call balls and strikes. Some folks say, I wish you hadn't brought that up. That makes us look bad. I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm trying to deal with what I think is best for the American public. And I thank you for your support. I cannot begin to thank you enough for what you've done for this program. This program started at nighttime on another station in 2014. And we're still here. Because Larry Connors USA is for you. And by the grace of God, I'm going to continue to stay here and be with you. And we're going to get the word out to others. And do remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.